Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hi, I'm Jan Cook, and I'm in for Chuck and Julie today. You've seen me a number of times as a guest, but today I'm the guest host. So welcome to their show. Hey, two things before we get started. Really help Chuck and Julie out. You know they're a local voices for so many of us, bringing us great guests that keep us up to date on what's going on. If you'll go to their Facebook page right after the show and please like their page, because that gets us spreading the word. And anytime they're coming live on air, just like today, Monday, from 3 to 4, whether it's Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, you'll get a notification and your friends will be able to also get a notification. The second thing I'd like you to do for Chuck and Julie is go to their YouTube channel. It's very simple, Chuck and Julie Show. And that's where all of their podcasts are also stored along with iTunes. But if you go there and subscribe, again, you'll get a reminder of when their show is about to air. Well, I'm thrilled to be here today. I have two great guests for you. One is Samantha Cook. Samantha Cook is running in House District 1, which is, against, if you're familiar with who is currently the Democrat in House District 1, it is Susan Lahntein. Well, Susan Lahntein is the legislator who led the charge to give us mandated sex education, which so many people across the board, whether it was regardless of party, I'd like to say, many parents were very much against that. They were against it for a couple of reasons. One, Colorado is a local controlled state, education state. We have our own boards of education. We have our own local control boards, school education boards. And so that usurped the parental rights, which most parents did not like. It took away our local control. She was also very militant in this last 2020 legislative session with 163. If you're not familiar with 163, the medical freedom people in the state of Colorado and all across the nation actually joined forces to fight against 163. And so I encourage you, if you didn't know about that, she was the person, the chairperson, that heard it in the House on a weekend. I believe it was a Sunday. I could be wrong. It may have been Saturday, but I recall it as a Sunday. There were over 3,000 parents, moms, dads. They had Michelle Malcolm there. They had Robert Kennedy Jr., who was a Democrat, there speaking to address the moms, to also testify in the trial, hearing against this bill. And not only did they unanimously, on a Democrat party line and on a Republican party line, the Democrats voted to push it forward, and Governor Polis went ahead and signed that bill, which basically tracks your children and what types of immunizations they're getting. And it was very disturbing to a lot of parents, again, usurping parental rights. So Susan Lahntein, Samantha Cook is trying her best, but she's going to need your help. And we're going to talk to her a little bit about how you can help her defeat Susan, who is in the back pocket of Planned Parenthood. So Susan Lahntein's got a lot of money. We need to help Samantha Cook win that House District 1. We need all the medical freedom moms and dads to come out and support her. And I've got another idea for Samantha and I talked about that might help her as well. She's also was one of the people that went to yesterday's Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. It was a 6th annual event, and Randy Corbin's going to join us later to talk a little bit about what happened yesterday. There's a lot of chatter on social media right now, Facebook, Twitter, talking about how the Black Lives Matter and the militant Antifa allied with Black Lives Matter basically invaded a permitted event that was completely took them over. And we'll talk a little bit about that too, because I was there. I went, my husband and I attended the 6th annual Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. Randy Corcoran was the MC. It was organized by another gentleman. They had brought in guests, Michelle Malcolm, to speak. Samantha Cook actually was supposed to be one of the speakers. Sheriff Reams, Casper Stockham, who is running in District 7 against Perlmutter to be a U.S. congressman, was there. He was supposed to speak, along with numerous other people. When my husband and I first arrived, we were in a parking lot that was west and south of Civic Center Park. When we got there, there were a bunch of probably a dozen or more police officers that were arriving, all in their gear, you know, totally suited up, lots of backpack paraphernalia. And we're thinking, oh, this is great. We thought we were going to be a little late because the event started at 3 and it was supposed to go to about 6 o'clock, whatever the time was. So we're thinking, hey, we're actually, this is great. We're coming just as it started because the police are just starting to get here. We walk into the Civic Center Park Arena, and I'm seeing all of these people with flags, and they look like, you know, patriots ready to celebrate Law Enforcement Day. They're all on the peripheral. And in the center are all of these young kids with, you know, cymbals and banging and playing music. And, you know, and then I'm looking up at the stage and, you know, finally the police officers are getting up into the front stage. And I'm thinking, well, where's Randy? Where's Michelle? Where's Steve Reams? Where is everybody? And then as these folks are like playing this music and, you know, they've got a real beat to it, I'm thinking, well, why are the Patriots standing around with their flags? Let's dance to this beat that, you know, these protesters have going on there. And they were shouting things like, they had a beat that went, "You're a racist." And I, you know, some of us were going, "Thanks for the music. Thanks for the music," which actually fit the sound of what was going on. So I made my way up to the front stage, and I'm asking everybody, where's Randy? Where's Michelle? Where is everybody? And I finally realized, it dawned on me, wait a minute. They invaded the event. The band was no longer playing. Apparently, they did have a little bit of a ceremony as the event started at 3. I'm not getting there till about 3:20, 3:25. And it finally dawned on me, all of the people that were there to assemble for Law Appreciation Day were on the peripheral. And everybody else, the invaders, if you will, the BLM Antifa invaders, were in the center and they were up on the stage in front of the line of the police officers, shouting at them, calling them racists, saying there's not going to be any justice unless there's peace. No justice, no peace. And I'm thinking to myself, where's our justice? We came here, there was a permit. We had a band that was supposed to be playing for us so that we could be dancing in the center stage there. And where's our justice? And we didn't get any peace because they were blowing their horns and playing their music very loudly so that they could drown out what? They could drown out us. They could drown out what we wanted to convey to one another. They could drown out our freedom of speech. Their speech was more important than our speech at our organized event. Here's the other thing I want you to think about. We did everything right. We did everything within the law. We got the permits. We set that all up. The organizer, I'm not an organizer, I'm just speaking out, like we, meaning him and Randy and all those who organized the event. We followed the laws. So So the question I have for you, Chuck and Julie listeners, and those that are watching this podcast later, why didn't the police, and by the way, the rank and file, I don't blame the rank and file, okay? They're following orders from leadership. We have to remember that. As frustrated as we get that the police didn't do anything, apparently, if the higher ups say, this is what you have to do, this is what they have to abide by. If you want to challenge that, that's fine. But that's basically what occurred here. But I want to know why, if this went through legally, why they didn't push back the line and have like yellow tape, and the police were pushed up by the yellow tape and protect the perimeter and allow the peaceful law-abiding assembly to be at the center, the stage area, and the area before them, so that they could continue to communicate and they could blow their horns and they could chant their chants out so many feet past the area. I don't understand why they didn't do that. I think that's a good question for us to ask. I was listening to and this is part of what I was going to talk with Samantha about, and she's got an incredible story to share with us. So I hope she can join us on what happened to her when she went to leave the Law Enforcement Appreciation Day event. It's stunning. It's stunning because here's what's going on. A lot of these protesters, you can tell they don't really know our people, because I actually witnessed a couple of legislators that were just in plain clothes, their jeans and their regular polo shirts on the weekend, because this happened yesterday on Sunday, July 19th. So I actually witnessed a few legislators that were being taunted by these activists, and they were totally oblivious of who they were talking to. And a lot of the people on our side are people that are very involved in the public arena, and it just showed how ignorant they were to who they were carrying on with and taunting and trying to entice into some sort of physical altercation. I want to, we've got the beautiful Samantha Cook is now with us. And so can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Terrific.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No. It's totally fine. It's, this is all new to all of us. Trust me.
It's all good. So
here's Samantha. Samantha, as I said in the beginning, you are running for State House, Colorado State House Representative for House District 1, which is, you're a Republican, you're registered as a Republican, and you're running against Susan Lawntine, who, I told everybody, is the architect and the sponsor of the sex ed, mandated sex ed bill that's now law. She also was very instrumental in getting that 163 through. I don't know if she was a sponsor. She may have been a co-sponsor, but it was basically that was Mullica's, was the sponsor for that particular bill.
Yeah.
She also put out another, was very supportive of a bill that got passed last year.
Mm-hmm.
Is very controversial, and we've already experienced bad things. And that was House Bill 19-1124, which is now law.
Right.
I was sharing with Samantha that recently John Fabricatori, who is the director for Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement, got to experience firsthand why this bill is so bad. And I'm not sure, I wouldn't be surprised if Fabricatori actually testified against the bill, trying to explain how bad this bill was going to be. But here's the upshot that's interesting. He cited on this interview, and by the way, after the show, I'm going to post it on my Twitter account, that interview, at Jan Cook Live. Go to Twitter, at Jan Cook Live, and I'm going to post this interview with John Fabricatori about this law. If any of you heard the case where a woman recently was hit by a 2x4 while she was jogging, he cites this as the bill, the law now, that caused this to happen. Because this law, 1124, relaxed the communications between the different jurisdictions and ICE. He's basically saying they created a sanctuary for criminal illegal aliens. So what's your comment on that, Samantha?
Yeah, that was probably one of the first bills that I really became aware of with Susan Lahnteen. And it's really unfortunate when we have people in office that are fighting harder for people who are here illegally versus their own citizens. And we see the repercussions of that when we don't know who's in our neighborhood and when our law enforcement isn't able to work directly with the people that do, you know, hold illegal immigrants accountable. And then it's the communities that suffer. It's women, children, you know, it just makes us that much less safe. And not to say that our own citizens are perfect, but, you know, we really do have to be able to empower these organizations that are there to protect us. So it's sad to see, you know, Susan Lahnteen is not experiencing the repercussions of this bill. It's everyday people like you and me and this poor woman that was attacked.
Well, that's, and again, a woman that was just in suburban,
right,
Colorado, on a trail that's very well known and very well trafficked. I feel safe on that. I believe it was the Highline Canal, but, and I've actually have gone on that numerous times by myself, not thinking anything of it. And the idea that she's severely beaten over the head with a 2x4 violently, and this person, he was known to be a criminal problem, and he had been released from several different jurisdictions. And in particular, he was released on July the 9th from Denver. And what did he do? He gets into the suburban area and he's attacking these people. By the way, Fabek Kotori actually, I said, called Lahnteen out. And he said that when the bill was signed, this is according to him, she actually said this bill was going to make it safer for civilians.
Okay? Right.
I want you to hear this on people on the Chuck and Julie Show listeners. When I post this to at Jan Cook Live, please listen to the interview because it's unconscionable. So to this point, we have Lahnteen is clearly a militant. She's in the back pocket of Planned Parenthood.
Right.
What can people do to help you in terms of your campaign and helping you get out the vote for you?
You know, I think it comes down to people not being afraid to speak out and have these discussions and really what the leadership of Colorado has done or failed to do for us. You know, people get so caught up in the national conversation about what's happening between Trump and Biden and, you know, in the White House. And what we really need to do is be aware of what our local leaders are doing, because these are the people that make decisions that affect our everyday lives. You know, I mean, who's in the White House is obviously important, but they're not going to determine whether or not your community is really safe, whether your families are protected, and, you know, whether the laws in your area favor you or favor people that could potentially do you harm. So we need to get back to focusing on who's representing our very neighborhoods and representing your family and understand what it is that they are fighting for. Is it for you? Is it for their own agenda?
So if they want to find out if they can make calls for you, walk yeah. for you, where do they go?
My website is SamanthaForColoradoValues.com. There's a contact form there, and you can, you know, check the box of things that you want to help with, whether it be walking doors or making phone calls. You can also go and make a donation. That's something we are always desperately in need of. The Democrats always out fundraise us by leaps and bounds. So,
and Lahnteen will definitely have the whole force,
yes,
financial force behind her. So please help Samantha out. Now I want to just quickly get to what happened to you yesterday. You attended, as did I, the sixth annual Law Enforcement Day.
Yes. Tell
what you experienced there.
Well, I came at about 3:30, so I missed the initial chaos and the initial altercations that had happened. So I saw some of that footage this morning, which, you know, helps me understand what it is that I walked into. When I got there, I was supposed to meet up with people like Michelle Malkin and other candidates. We were supposed to be able to speak. Sorry, my daughter's trying to get in here. So we were supposed to be able to speak. And, you know, I was on the phone with my campaign manager. He said, go to the stage area. And I was like, what's a stage area? Because the reason I didn't know what it was is because it was literally covered shoulder to shoulder with protesters. So I couldn't even see the stage. So I didn't know what he was talking about. You know, long story short, some of our officers started to descend kind of into the middle of the crowd and kind of separate the protesters from the people that were in the rally. And I made my way down kind of where the officers were. And, you know, I don't know if it was a mistake or not, but trying to, you know, at least engage with some of the protesters and, you know, say, hey, you know, we're on the same page. I don't know anybody that doesn't think that Black Lives Matter. You know, that really didn't get very far. By that point, I made my way up and I was kind of engaging with somebody else, but I didn't realize that the people that I was with had kind of made their way out. So I was in the middle of suddenly all of these protesters trying to get out of there. And I think because I had engaged in this other conversation, suddenly that put a target on my back. So I was trying to leave and this group was following me, and this one girl in particular was trying, she came up to me, she was screaming in my face. We were kind of in these trees and she was grabbing the tree branches and like trying to smack them at me and
oh my,
trying to smack the phone out of my hand. And then this guy came up beside her, this big guy, and he was like, I'm going to slit your throat. I want to slit your throat right now.
Wow.
I said it about 3 or 4 times and I was so taken aback that this was happening. And this group kind of congregated behind them. And at that point, two of our good guys came in between myself and them to keep it from escalating. So that kind of broke up. But as I was continuing to try to leave, this one woman kept coming after me, screaming at me, you know, vulgarities, obscenities, and just really trying to engage in some kind of physical altercation, which I was not about to do. So,
you know, you're not the only one. As I was posting different videos and people, I do have a few videos posted at Jan Cook Live on my Twitter feed, if you want to just take a look at some of these videos. But as I posted them on Facebook, I actually had a number of people share their stories that I hadn't heard because it was a pretty good sized crowd there. And there was all these little niches of people that you could, for example, I didn't see you. You probably didn't see me. There's a lot of people I didn't see there, but people were sharing how they were physically attacked.
Yeah.
Or they were verbally attacked. And a number of people did say they tried to engage, my husband included. He said he was trying to engage with them as well. And they say, F you, you're racist. And so that just tells you they really aren't legitimately caring about connecting with people.
Right.
Sharing their stories. This is really all about intimidation at the heart of it.
It really is.
Slit your throat. I want to slit your throat. That's very menacing and threatening.
Oh yeah. And especially somebody, you know, probably twice my size standing there. Thankfully the officers were nearby. And from what I understand, they were instructed by our mayor and our governor to stand down and to not engage. So, you know, people that are upset with the police for not doing more, I feel that their hands were tied as well. But this group did not show up to peacefully protest anything or really to make any changes. All they wanted to do was incite violence. One of the girls I was talking to, she kept saying, F Trump, he's a racist. And I was like, do you know anything about Joe Biden's record? And she's like, F Joe Biden. And I was like, well, that's who you're going to get in office. You know, there was no point in trying to have a conversation because that's not what they're interested in. And it's really, really harmful to our communities and to our country to have people that are causing so much violence and so much unrest based on issues that I'm not even sure they understand. And it's really sad. And they don't understand the bigger picture and what the consequences are. What happens if we don't have police? What happens if we don't have people taking care of us? So
that's right. That's right. They seem to me to be aimless.
Yeah.
And they were just being militant and invading this for the fun of it. And what their outcome really was intimidation. So the question becomes, I think, very clear for everybody in Colorado this November. If we don't see a red wave this year, Samantha, I'm going to be stunned. Because that just goes to show you how disengaged people are. in what's going on. And if they want this state to turn around, and if they care about our kids and how they act out and the type of education they're getting and guidance that they're getting through the current government union programs, I think we need a reawakening that we need a citizen-led education system, not a government and union-led. And that's really, let's stop saying public schools.
Right.
We don't have public schools.
They're government schools.
They're government schools, because yeah. Public would say that it was a nonpartisan type organization that is inclusive. It's no longer inclusive.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, and when you talk about this red wave that we're in desperate need of, you know, when you see the governor and the mayor telling the police not to defend innocent people, that means
right.
that they're out there advocating for this violence. They are
right.
fighting harder for mobs and for people that want to break our laws and disrupt our communities more than they're fighting for you. And I know that, you know, Susan Montaigne herself, the lady I'm running against, is, you know, she's anti-police as well. She supports, you know, anti-police efforts. And so it really comes down to look at your local representative. Are they advocating for your safety? Is it really time to kind of look at the other options of voting and, you know, maybe vote for change? Because if not, you're voting for more of the same.
I have another guest coming up. You're welcome to stay. And we'll see if Randy Corcoran is here.
Okay.
But Samantha Cook, and she spells it K-O-C-H.
Yep.
It's Samantha for Colorado Values. SamanthaForColoradoValues.com. Go to that website, sign up to learn how you can help Samantha. Because if you're not helping Samantha, and look, you can, Samantha, tell them real quick, what's the House District 1 lay geographically?
It's basically Southwest Denver. So I believe one of the most north streets is around Alameda. It's in between Sheridan and Federal. It comes down and kind of expands out a little bit to take in some pieces of like out towards Kipling and Wadsworth.
Sure.
So it comes down and takes in Lakewood and then a little bit, like I have one precinct in Jeffco.
Okay.
So if that gives you an idea.
But the key thing is if you're in even South Metro Denver area, I'm suggesting help Samantha. And I'm planning, Samantha, I want to learn more about how I can help too, knock on doors and make phone calls for you. Because even if people think it's a long shot, you know, because Lontine has deep pockets, all we have to look to is to look at Lauren Boebert. And she was supposed to be an incredible long shot also. Nobody thought she had a chance. Most of the politicos thought that her opponent, a Republican opponent in the primary, was going to win. No, she won.
Yeah.
So we have to see that you are somebody that gets the issues. You went to the hearings. You supported the medical moms. You were there at the Capitol. You were fighting, just like Lauren's been fighting.
Yeah.
With the petition, citizen initiatives, you've been on the forefront of that too. And
yeah.
you can be the change and the long shot here at the state capitol. So I wish you well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey, Randy.
How's it going, Jan?
Well, Randy, I got to tell you, before we get started, there's two things going on. You were part of the 6th annual Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, but you also were the attorney for Bandimere Speedway. And today was supposed to be the day that the judge had a ruling. Do you have an update by any chance for us on that?
No, that ruling is tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I like where you are. You've got a nice little porch setting there. Is that somewhere close to home?
Yeah, I'm home right now doing a little yard work. I needed a little de-stressing today.
I bet.
My law firm is finalizing an answer and counterclaim that we're filing on behalf of the Bandimeres today prior to the ruling tomorrow. And then we'll be filing a motion for our own preliminary injunction against the Jefferson County Public Health Department to stop their enforcement and their really virtual torturing of the Bandimere Speedway.
Okay, great. Well, we look forward to hearing more about that. Yesterday, I have to tell you, was stunning to me coming into the Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. And just as Samantha Cook just described, we were both confused because we thought we were walking into a a bunch of patriots and speakers and engagement, and I couldn't wait to see all of you up on the stage. But instead, my brain couldn't get a wrap around what I was seeing, which was the complete invasion by the BLM, the Black Lives Matter, and the militant Antifa. So if you wouldn't mind, tell us what Samantha and I and others missed.
Well, if you'd have gotten there by about 3:15, it was all still feeling pretty good. We knew that the domestic terrorists were suiting up over there by the Capitol, and the police had told us that they're there, and we're watching, and we'll let you know when they're coming over. And we asked them, well, are you going to come in? Are you going to draw some lines? Are you going to draw some separation? They did not. And about the time that I got to the Pledge of Allegiance, we were shouting over pots and pans and bullhorns and sirens and everything else you can imagine. And the police literally just let them completely infiltrate, not just the viewing area down in the amphitheater, but the stage area, both side entrances to the stage and behind us. So we were literally surrounded. And then the police came in and made an outside perimeter. So they just kind of boxed us all in. And you know, Jan, we were at the ICE facility on
Randy, you're breaking up a little bit, Randy. Randy?
We know.
Randy, you're breaking up your connection.
How law enforcement can separate two factions. We have, okay? Too bad.
Yeah, can you hear me, Randy? You're breaking up. Your connectivity's breaking up. Can you hear me, Randy?
I'm here.
Okay, your connectivity broke up.
Yeah. Okay, how about now?
I can hear you, but I can tell that the feed is not. Can you get closer or move to a different location?
I'll call in on the phone.
Okay. This is, you know what, Chuck and Julie, if you happen to be tuning in, I just want to say that it takes a lot to put on a show like this with technology. So there's always going to be, you know, different bandwidths and so forth. And I get this little flash that Randy Corcoran's bandwidth is a low.
Is it working yet?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Okay, so okay. Here's where you left off that we could hear before it went into. Okay, you were telling us that the police came in and then they kind of put a perimeter around, but they pushed everybody together, if you will. So go from there.
Well, yeah, they instead of coming and drawing a line between us, they surrounded us. So they were watching everything that was going on illegally inside from the outside. And you were at the 921 rally in Standing with ICE back in September. We know what law enforcement can do to divide, separate competing factions, and avoid any kind of violence or problem. And, you know, I tweeted last night as the Denver police was getting an awful lot of negative social media. And my conclusion from yesterday after talking to the police on the ground is that this wasn't a blue problem. This was a brass problem. They were instructed to allow things to unfold as they did.
Now, when I left Michelle Malkin's Twitter feed, which I encourage people to go to her Twitter feed, I'm sure, Randy, you might. What's your Twitter handle? You probably have some stuff up as well.
Yeah, it's Randy Corcoran. My last name is all O's, so at Randy Corcoran, real easy.
And I've also retweeted some of Michelle Malkin's. Well, seeing Michelle's Twitter feed really helped me to better understand what was going on. And I cannot believe how Michelle, a woman, a very petite woman at that, was treated. I was also stunned to find out that our very own Julie Hayden Bonniewell, who is the host of co-host of this show with Chuck, that she actually had a physical throw at her. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. I was right up there with her on the stage. So we, and Ron McLaughlin, of course, got practically knocked out. I'm going to call in on a phone line now.
Okay. So while we're waiting for Randy, Julie tweeted, and you can go to Julie, Chuck and Julie, I believe it's at Chuck and Julie One on Twitter. She responds to Michelle Malcolm, letting Michelle Malcolm know, hey, I'm so glad you're okay. She apparently lost her shoe in the scuffle that was going on. But to see the video on Michelle's Malcolm's feed, you can see it's so jittery because there was a lot of altercation and stuff going on. So the phone was capturing the movement of the bodies and the people. And Julie sent a tweet over to Michelle letting her know that she was the woman she's referring to that actually, it sounded like Julie said, and I don't have it in front of me to read, actually got hit by one of these BLM protests. You could see the woman in front of Julie as this was going on. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, no, Julie got hit. I heard her tell that story earlier today on Peter Boyle's show. And, of course, Ron McLaughlin got hit with a skateboard and a bullhorn. Had to stitch himself up. And he and I are going to be on Hannity tonight, so we'll see what he looks like today on day two. I'm really glad this story is going national because it is really important that we stop making excuses and give up ground to these domestic terrorists. We simply can't do that anymore.
Randy, I heard on another radio station today, there was a debate between the host and the co-host. One of the hosts said, let me finish what I'm about to say because I want you to weigh in. She said, I think that the peaceful assemblers who were actually permitted and should have been there after the invasion of the Black Lives Matter and the militant Antifa took over and invaded and really took it over, that they should have left, meaning we should have left. And the co-host said, I disagree. He said, I don't think they should have been made to leave. I think the police should have created that separation between the two groups. And by all means, the people that should have been there should never have been chased off. What's your thought on that?
Well, absolutely, we shouldn't have been made to leave. The police should have enforced the law. They were violating a state law. They were violating Denver ordinance for disrupting lawful assembly, disorderly conduct, assault, obnoxious noises. All of those things are chargeable. I see them charged in divorce cases with domestic violence all the time. You know, the obnoxious noises, repeated calling, things like that. We were on the right side of the law. It was our space. And I talked to the one woman police officer who was in charge of at least one of the teams that was there. And she kept telling me, well, they have their First Amendment rights too. And I had to educate the county attorney or the city attorney in Aurora and the Aurora Police Department on this and may have to try and do it with Denver. The First Amendment does not entitle you to disrupt another peaceful assembly or throw things or hit people. But again, I don't think it's because they don't understand and aren't willing to enforce the law. I don't think they're being allowed to.
You know, let me ask you this question because some people called me later yesterday evening to check in because they had been there, but a lot of us didn't connect with each other because it really was a pretty good sized group. And we were, most of us were these people that were there for the Law Appreciation Day. We were all on the perimeter of the event, and some of us were got up behind the police on the stage. So a lot of us didn't connect and see each other because we were quite distances apart. Had we been in that little circular area in front of the stage, it would have been a different story. But as I posted videos all throughout social media, I was receiving comments of people who had been assaulted physically. One gentleman said he was going to be consulting his attorney on a post, and he explained what had happened to him. People don't understand that you may not have heard Samantha Cook, who's running for State House District 1. Randy, she was accosted by a woman that was taking tree branches, pulling them while she was trying to leave, pulling them back and trying to get them to fling in her face. Meanwhile, a guy that was three times her size was behind Samantha saying, "I want to slit your throat." You have to, that's a direct threat to a woman. Why? Why would anybody on the Democrat side not be coming out fully and denouncing this depraved behavior?
Well, this is all about beating Donald Trump in November. They want to tie the chaos to him. They want to gin up their base. They're not going to criticize any of these actions because this is the radical left agenda right now. So it doesn't make any sense to expect anything reasonable out of those people. They want as much drama and chaos and destruction as possible in an effort to take out Donald Trump. I think it's clear as day.
So what do you think needs to happen now? After what we experienced, people were injured, people were bodily injured, people were assaulted. If you could hear the noise level, anything that's on the videos I've posted, I don't think it does the sound justice. They were verbally assaulted. What do you think is next for law-abiding citizens?
I think we have to do another one. I think we have to do another one just as soon as we can. It has to be better organized. We have to turn out in huge numbers. We have to have more of the people that I expected there to help provide security. The only reason that we were forced out yesterday was because they outnumbered us. This was not some trained militia. The fisticuffs that I was involved in and that others up on stage were involved in, these were not trained fighters. They were just young, angry kids. There were a few there that were serious in black Antifa gear with the folding batons and all of that. But we were simply outnumbered. And I know for a fact that the police know how to set up a line, because the only time they were willing to set up a line yesterday was when we agreed to go ahead and get on our bikes, and if they set up a line, we'd go ahead and get out of there. And then they came down and they set up a line. It wasn't a very big line. We were allowed to be spit on and things thrown at us. We could barely squeeze out between the police and the pillars, the walls of the amphitheater there as we rode out. But they didn't know how to create a separation. They just were unwilling to do it until we agreed to leave.
Well, one of the things I would like to impress upon people is I honestly wasn't afraid. I didn't like what was going on, and I knew that it could escalate, and I was not one of the people that was bodily injured like some others or bodily threatened like Samantha Cook, candidate for HD1, was. So everybody's experience there was different. But I will say this. Sue Trombino, who is the founder of an organization called Women Impacting the Nation, one of her mantras is, if we show up, we win. There are more of us, Randy, than there are of them, but we have to be willing to show up.
No question. We have to act like we're 20 points down. We have to act like the polls are accurate. I don't believe that they are, but there's going to be illegal voting, voter fraud. The media, right up till the day of election, just like in 2016, is going to tell us that it's going to be a blowout. Hillary should be fighting for her second term right now if we listen to the media. We have to act smartly, but aggressively. There's no more compromise. There's no more making excuses. Yeah, but George Floyd. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. These people want total devastation. They do not want a constitutional republic. And sorry, stop the call that was coming in. And we just cannot kowtow anymore. And that includes more pro-police rallies in dangerous places. We just have to be very much better prepared.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I would absolutely be willing to do it again. And I think, you know, we can talk offline about, again, organizing it and getting people prepared. But I believe right now that citizens in every aspect of our lives have got to take it back. We've got to go toward more of a citizen-led education system. We cannot be held hostage anymore by the government and union education system that we have right now. People have got to step up. As some people will say, there's a gentleman I like to follow on Twitter, a guy by very smart strategist, Ali Alexander. People can find him by simply at Ali on Twitter. And he says, we might have to be a little out of our comfort zones. We might need to be a little inconvenienced for a little bit until we get our new system set up. But people, we've got to take our streets back. We got to take back law and order. It's the citizens that are going to make the difference, and we need to band together and we need to show up. On that note, Randy, I'd like to wrap up this show with, if you wouldn't mind, I know that there was a GoFundMe to support Bandimere Speedway. I love getting those little updates from John because I did donate, and I also shared the GoFundMe link on quite a few Facebook pages. And if you sign up, you can be anonymous. They are looking for 100,000. In 9 days, they had close to 50,000 already. And the average donation was $90, and it was over 9,700 shares. And this was, you know, a couple of days ago that I got a message from John. Where are you at with the GoFundMe account? Can people still donate, and where do they go?
Well, yeah, we set a target goal of $100,000 because the Bandimere GoFundMe wasn't just for legal fees. The Bandimere can afford that. We're trying to provide resources to allow them to survive through this fading season and not lose the track, you know, not lose the whole thing. So that GoFundMe will be up for a while. It's amazing that almost 10,000 people have shared it in different social media. We're so grateful for that. I just got a text that they are canceling our Hannity interview tonight. So I don't want anybody to waste their time expecting to see Ron and me on there. That's not happening now.
Oh, darn.
But the Bandimere litigation is just starting. We'll be filing our answer and counterclaims, our own injunction this week. And this is our state stuff. We still have a federal court action coming with Bandimere. Our next big deal besides the Bandimere case will be our face mask litigation on behalf of Minority Leader Pat Neville. And that should be coming out this week as well.
And if people want to donate for the legal defense fund for that particular case, where should they go?
Oh boy, let me see if I have it in front of me. There's so many fundraisers now. I'm just the talking head, you know. I think it's stopthemaskmandate.com.
Okay.
Stop the mask mandate. Well, that's not working, so.
Don't worry. I will post this on Chuck and Julie's show. People can go there afterward, and I'll also tweet it out from at Jan Cook Live. Anything else you want to share with us? Any cases? Anything coming up with your own show coming up this Saturday? Anything at all you want to wrap up with?
No, I just want to echo your sentiments and remind everybody that, you know, I hear people on radio and elsewhere saying it was the police department's job to protect us down there yesterday. Always kind of, you know, handing off to government officials and others the responsibility for us as sovereign citizens to take care of ourselves. And I just got to remind everybody, it starts with us first and foremost. And so I'm so grateful to you and so many others who are coordinating on all these things that are going on. We are winning these fights. Turn off the TV or don't listen to it. Just see what's going on around you, because the great silent mass is awakening. I just have no doubt of.
Well, I have to say, I'm very appreciative of working with people like Chuck and Julie, Patrick Neville, Randy Corcoran. My goodness, like people often say, you've got so many things going on. But I personally feel that you've been preparing for this time. Everything that you've been doing with the Arapaho Tea Party as a president, your conservative talk radio that you've been doing for a number of years now, now becoming the Republican committeeman and activist that is now moving into that realm will be hugely helpful, I believe, to the party and the support that you've been giving Donald Trump, but President Trump. But now the whole, this whole thing with the law and your being an attorney, now you get to bring everything full circle. Your activism and coupled with this, it's really quite, to me, it's your time. And we're so thankful to have you on our side, Randy. So I thank you so much for joining me today on the Chuck and Julie Show. I'm just going to do a little bit of last minute stuff in our last few minutes, but keep in touch with me on anything you need help and support with.
Thank you, Jan. And it is stopthemaskmandate.com. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you. Now, we have a few people that I just have a couple of minutes, but if you wouldn't mind, we can bring up somebody that's here. We've got Chris Dottie. Do you want to unmute? Do you have a comment that you would like to say on the Chuck and Julie Show?
Hi, Jan. How are you?
I'm well.
You and I stood together. I looked over at you and said, you probably need to figure out where you're going. You know, I think we might be pointing the finger in a lot of different directions as to who is attending that. I mean, it was a Black Lives demonstration, but predominantly it was young white males and females. And the females were put out front. They made a assault on the back of the theater, and the girls were leading the pack. And then the guys would swing from behind with the skateboards and things like that. So it's Antifa, it's anarchists. It isn't just the Black Lives Matter. Not that they weren't responsible and they weren't there also. But I think we're seeing a revolution in our society. We're seeing 4 or 5 decades of liberalism coming to fruition. We're seeing kids that hate, literally, you saw how hateful those people were. And I don't mean to put too much onus on that, but they were viciously mean and cruel.
Yeah, I agree with you. And those are some excellent insights. Did you have any interaction personally with anybody?
I was the one with the bloody chin.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was physically assaulted, I don't know, 30 or 40 times. And actually we were at the back of the arena. If those individuals had their ways, there were men at the back of the arena that prevented the situation from getting worse.
Oh,
and we took an active role in that. And I realized you weren't there to see that. But if you arrived as the music was starting, I could even share some content. I won't bother to do that to confuse you right now. But it started well in advance of what you saw down on the floor. They were making a move on us approximately at 5 to 3. And that was 1,500 people that overran. And I've said this a couple times, and no disrespect to my brethren that were there. A lot of people that are active in Republican politics. I'm 60 years old. I walked a 78-year-old woman to her car. She was over at Catholic church over on Colfax and Grant, 2 miles away. And there were other women 10, 15, 20 years older than you that had no idea where they were going. There weren't escorts. The police department was not offering assistance. Matter of fact, they denied assistance. If you listen to Peter Boyles this morning, there's story after story after story of the police department to fail to protect us. I agree with Randy. We should always be on our toes and know where we're going, what we're doing. It's like going in a theater. You need to know where the fire exits are. So I don't mean to go on a tirade.
No. I think, Chris, this adds context and value. I will say we have 2 minutes left before the show ends here. And
they
may actually end a little bit before the top of the hour. But I want to thank you for those insights. But you know what this also says is we're so used to coming to our peaceful assemblies without agendas. We come with our flags. We come with our ears. We come to have fun with our fellow listeners. So this is the, somebody's just put up the photograph.
That's Ron McLaughlin. He's the organizer. This was his sixth annual time to do this. This man was beaten with a skateboard and then hit with that's what Randy was saying, then was hit with a megaphone. They had a full out on assault. Michelle Malkin was targeted. Randy Corcoran was targeted. There was three or four guys that tried to jump Randy right there, and they were going to take him to the ground, almost pat him to the ground.
Yeah. And Chris, let me, if we could take that photograph away.
I did. Sorry.
See the regular screen. Thank you for sharing that. Again, we're not used to this. So therefore, to Randy's point, we weren't prepared for what we saw there yesterday. Okay.
This world is evolving very quickly.
Yeah. And so
they are organized.
They're organized, and we can't retreat, and we have to continue to do our events, but we now know that we have to be a lot more strategic because we're dealing with a completely different set of circumstances, a very militancy that none of us, I have not seen in my lifetime. I'm sure you haven't seen with your lifetime. Well, with that, thank you all. We're getting ready to close out the show. I apologize to Chuck and Julie for some of the technical difficulties, but that's the nature of this sort of business today. I want to encourage your listeners to please go right now to their Facebook page, Chuck and Julie Show, and like their page. Let's drive up their likes so we can drive up their audience. And then go over to the YouTube on the internet and subscribe to their Chuck and Julie Show. Thank you all. I enjoyed being here today. Take care.